Hello, and welcome to this podcast about the October 2018 ISP meeting on insurance contract. My name is Roberta Ravelli, and I am a member of the ISP technical staff. With me today, Darrell Scott, a member of the board and one of the lead board advisors on the insurance contract project. At the October meeting, the board firstly received an update about the activities to support IFRS 17 implementation that the staff and the board are continuing to carry out, including an update of the meeting of the Transition Resource Group held in September. This was the third meeting of the Transition Resource Group, with 11 agenda papers discussed. The summary of this meeting was reported to the board, together with the submission log showing that the Transition Resource Group has received 81 submissions to date, of which 32 were for the September meeting. Darrell, how did the board respond to the TRG report?
Thanks, Roberta. So there wasn't much discussion about the TRG board report at the board meeting. Essentially, the board acknowledged the really good work that has been done by the TRG members, appreciated the effort that they've put in for the discussions. We also appreciated the fact that we're receiving these submissions, which we believe are definitely helping with the implementation process for many entities. Hagit in her tee-up noted the fact that the TRG submissions are becoming more detailed as we move along, and that this is really a good sign because it indicates that people are getting more into the depth of the implementation process. But I think we also noted during the course of the meeting that there is a limit to what the TRG can do. It is intended as a body to cover high-level, broader range issues, and we found it difficult even in the meeting in September to deal with the specificity of some of the examples that had been raised. But certainly an acknowledgement of how far we've come and of the good work that the TRG is doing.
The board then discussed the criteria to consider for evaluating possible changes to IFRS 17. Darrell, was there anything interesting that came out from that session?
I think this was a really good discussion. Some of the things that were very useful as a starting point were that the board acknowledged that from a staff perspective, bringing us a paper that allowed us to build a framework or a filter around which that we could think about the approach to making changes, if any, to IFRS 17 was a very useful starting point. It helped us think about the issues. It helped us think about the ramifications of the issues. There were a couple of points that I thought that were really important that came out of the process. I think the first one was to think, we had a question during our session about how you considered operational costs and what was that one of the criteria. And I think staff responded that cost was in fact something that had been, if it was brought to our attention, would result in an issue being brought onto the list of 25. So if you like, it was something that gave rise to the issue or the implementation concern in the first place. The filtering mechanism was then put in place to help us, or the criteria were put in place, to help us think about how we would deal with those issues that were raised. And one of the points that was made during the course of the meeting is that the ISB always was aware that any new accounting standard in the insurance space was likely to be a costly affair. So the fact that there are being significant costs incurred in the development of a standard, we think, is what is necessary in order to achieve the benefits of having a consistent, comparable standard that provides transparent information. So as much as cost is something with it, it's only one of the broader range of issues that we are thinking about. I think the other thing that came through during the course of the discussion was that we shouldn't focus only on one set of constituents or stakeholders. And there was some discussion around the table about remembering that users need this information, that's the primary purpose of the project, and we need to be considering their requirements as well. And then I think in talking a little bit about the specifics of the criteria that the staff had proposed, the first criteria was paraphrased by one of the board members as being about the principles of IFRS 17. And in talking about the principles, it was about the usefulness of information. Is the information going to be useful for users to work with? Consistencies versus inconsistencies, and specifically trying to keep IFRS 17 internally consistent, which in many ways is a pushback against requests perhaps for exemptions or exceptions to the way the primary primary things are applied. And then a little bit of a discussion around complexity from the perspective of a user. And I think in that discussion there was again some talk about this idea of exceptions, and also some talk about the negative role of introducing more optionality into the standard. So I thought that was a very useful discussion around the first issue. I think on the second issue we discussed a little bit about what the impact was likely to be on those who have already started their implementation process, and there was emphasis again placed on the importance of that, particularly bearing in mind that insurers are coming from different places. And so it's important to bear in mind that you might not actually, what might be great for one company might be very negative for another company. So an importance of sort of thinking about that. And then I think the last thing that came up, which I thought was really interesting, was just a reminder that the requirements as we've specified them, the filters or the criteria for thinking about these, are necessary requirements, but not necessarily sufficient for us to make a change. And that was just a reminder to think about the fact that people are getting on and getting in, implementing the standard. There's lots of work streams going on. And even if a change looks on the face of it to be a relatively easy change to make, the reality is for us as an ISB board, we need to think about the fact that for changing an existing standard, the hurdle has to be high. We have to think beyond just those criteria and think to whether what the ultimate impact is going to be and whether the benefit of any change we make would be worth that impact.
The board also received an update on the concern and implementation challenges, which has been raised by stakeholders since the issuance of the standard, a list of 25 topics.
Yeah, Roberta, so this was really essentially what we have heard over the course of the last 15 odd months since the standard has been issued. And I think there are a couple of important things that sort of come out of that discussion. The first is the staff were commended for the fact that they had, perhaps against expectations of many of our stakeholders, waited, not brought issues to the board too quickly. And what that's allowed the staff to do is to accumulate all of these issues that have come up. It gives us a sense of comfort that most, if not all, of the issues have now emerged. Most, if not all, of the issues have been discussed about. So we know we're dealing with a complete list of issues or a complete list of concerns and implementation challenges. So I think that was perhaps the first thing. I think the second thing to bear in mind is that this was the opportunity for staff to bring the board up to speed, to make sure that the board had a consistent and common knowledge base as we think about whether we want to take any further steps. So this part of the meeting was purely an education session. Staff weren't asking us to make any decisions. They were asking us to have a look at the material to see if we had any additional questions we wanted to ask, but no decisions were required of the board. And I thought it provided the board with perhaps two very useful opportunities. I think the first one was to just see if there was something that they needed to understand better. And on a couple of issues, the board specifically asked the staff to bring back a little bit more information to help them better understand an issue. But it also provided us with a little bit of a test run to test the criteria that we decided on when we were discussing the previous paper, to see how those criteria actually worked in sort of real life, the real life issues to which we'll be applying the criteria at a later point.
Okay. And so, David, which are the next steps following this meeting?
So I think the first thing, and perhaps the most important thing here, is that the staff now will take away the feedback that they got from the board in regards both the criteria and in regard the more detailed paper with the individual concerns and implementation challenges on it. What we would expect from the staff to do is to bring back a paper in the next month or two that then expands on those issues and which will be a decision-making paper. And that'll essentially ask the board to decide which of those concerns and implementation challenges we would ask the staff to take further, to actually bring back for later decision making. I think the other thing that was that came up during the course of the discussion, and that we'd expect another paper in the near future from the board on, is effective date. Now we had one of the board members gave a really interesting analysis to think about the way effective date works during the course of the meeting, and essentially it was dividing the effective date up into what I think of as three tiers. The first tier is thinking about the effective date purely from the perspective of things that we have heard About the difficulties that insurance companies are experiencing as they implement the standard. And we've heard about resource constraints, we've heard about systems constraints, so taking that into consideration. The second tier issue, if you like, is the fact that we are now talking about potential changes, whether that is creating some sort of noise in the system, whether people are starting to think about how their implementation process works. And the third one is probably what would happen if the board were at some point to decide to make changes and the impact that might have on effective date. So the effective date is going to be a really important discussion. Mm-hmm. And of course, the effective date has ramifications for other things like whether we would think about doing something different about IFRS 9. So I suspect that is an issue that is likely to come back to the board in sooner rather than later for the board to take further.
Okay. Thank you, Dabal, for this summary of the insurance contract discussion at the October 2018 meeting. And thank you for listening to this podcast, and goodbye.